Mark Britton is the founder and CEO of Avvo Incorporated. He was interviewed by Ed concerning the novel approach to rating lawyers. Mark talks about the objectives of Avvo: to help consumers enter the legal community with confidence, to help lawyers differentiate themselves, and to increase their revenues. They do this in part by rating lawyers by three separate modalities: peer review, client review, and Avvo review. Avvo is now moving beyond just rating lawyers into providing information to consumers. Listen to this interview and learn about the new rating methodology that will envelop most lawyers in the near future.
Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
Let's start by asking you the question, what is Avvo, and what are you doing in the new horizon?
Well, Avvo is a website, and you can find us at www.avvo.com. And it's a great website for both consumers and lawyers. Our touchstone is getting consumers more information and better guidance than they've really ever had access to before relating to the legal profession. And that is one thing, Ed, that we just, from the early focus groups that we did and the continuing conversations that we have with people who are interacting with lawyers and the legal profession, is they just tell us that they're lost. They are so lost. And that when it comes to the legal profession's big words and complex processes and all of that being backed up by very serious consequences, they don't know where to turn.
Well, so, if I understand you correctly, you're talking about possibly two different things. One is getting information about the lawyer that they might hire, but the other part is getting information about the law, the legal processes, and the judicial system at its very base. Are you literally talking about both sides of this question, or have you picked one or the other?
It's certainly both. I think that when we launched, and we launched last June, so we're coming up on our one-year anniversary here, when we launched last June, we were all about choosing the right lawyer. So we're almost notorious at this point for our Avvo rating, and that evaluates a lawyer's background. And that covers every lawyer in the states that we currently cover. We cover 13 states plus the District of Columbia, which gives us roughly 65% of the practicing lawyers. We also have client ratings. We have peer-to-peer, you know, our peer ratings, which is lawyer-to-lawyer ratings. We have Avvo Answers now. We've expanded in last December. We expanded into Avvo Answers, which is allows people to come in, ask their personalized legal questions anonymously if need be, but then they can get an answer that's tailored to that question and have it come from a real lawyer. We're also building out our legal guides, which are very basic guides that help orient the consumer to their legal situation. And then over time, lawyers, we have about 70 lawyers working with us on those right now, but we will open it up to the general lawyer community very soon so that anyone can write ancillary articles to those core articles. And just like with Avvo Answers, your picture will be sitting there with a link to your Avvo profile so that people can see that, wow, this person knows a lot about that area, and they can click in to read more about your background and ultimately contact you.
So what gives you the thought process that you're, other than being a good entrepreneur, capable of dealing in this area? What was your previous background?
Well, I'm a 16-year lawyer, and I actually started my practice on the East Coast. Part of that time I was a regulator with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and then I was both an associate and a partner with Preston Gates & Ellis, which is now K&L Gates. And then I became the general counsel at Expedia. And both during my time at K&L Gates and at Expedia, I had a lot of interaction with the e-commerce business. So when it comes to both law and e-commerce, and particularly consumer-focused e-commerce, I have a very deep background in both of those places. And so, you know, I just come from a family of lawyers, whether it's down my side, you know, my mother is a lawyer. My uncle's a judge. A lot of family members who are lawyers. And my wife is a lawyer. She has all of these siblings that are lawyers. And so, you know, I spend so much time listening to lawyers and understanding. You know, lawyers get a bad rap. They just, you know, we've all heard the lawyer jokes, and just fundamentally, lawyers get a bad rap in this country. And I think part of me, part of it's entrepreneurial, part of it's wanting to help the consumers, but it's also wanting to help get the message out for lawyers. You know, we as lawyers, we solve so many problems rather than create problems in our community, but it's the perception on the creating of problems that it seems we get hung with that all too often.
Right.
And having lawyers, you know, letting them tell their story, giving them a free place to set themselves apart and attract new clients, and cutting through the clutter of, say, the yellow pages of the search engines, and giving them that free web presence and where they can just, you know, their Avvo profile, they can upload it with as much information as they want, as often as they want. And that's, so, you know, you started the question, Ed, with what gives you the authority to step into this space? And it, for me, it's not only my background, but it's my passion to create a better marketplace for both consumers and lawyers, to really help all boats rise.
Well, you mentioned an interesting word, and I'll pick up on it, and that is free. Are you saying that the participation in Avvo is free?
Absolutely. And that is what makes it unique. I mean, for the consumers, they're able to come in and look at all of this information for free. And for lawyers, again, they are able to come in, claim a profile, answer questions, upload legal guides, leave all of these, all of these small indications of the problems they solve and the quality of their work and how they could help a potential client. They can leave those all over the site. And so it helps them, again, set themselves apart, attract new clients.
How are you handling, if you are, any vendors to the legal profession? Are they able to participate in Avvo as well?
Not currently. So it is, you know, we will be, we are, an advertising-based site. So we, just like a magazine, we make our money by selling advertising on the site. We currently just use Google AdWords, and at some point we will cut away from that and use our own ad platform. But we get a lot of requests. It's funny. Certainly lawyers are something that a lot of vendors would like to target. And our big focus right now, Ed, is on building this marketplace, building something that is very accessible for both the consumer and lawyers, just free, easy. You know, the KISS principle applies very much in building a marketplace. Keep it simple for the consumers, keep it simple for the lawyers so that they can get together and do the real business that they came to the site for.
Well, you talked about Avvo being in 13 states, so that leads me to ask you, where is Avvo now and how big is it? And what do you see its future for the next year, say?
Well, we're in 13 states plus D.C., and that covers roughly 65% of the practicing lawyers. We, by the end of the year, we actually have in production right now additional states which will allow us to cover well before the end of the year, I believe, if everything stays on track, 80% of the lawyers. What additional states we take on after that, we're still investigating how to go about that, but getting to that 80% threshold is very important to us. And then we would like to just continue to build out new and interesting features. We still are in beta, which is our test site where we're collecting a lot of information from the user community. And we have in the works a site redesign of sorts, and once we launch that, we'll be ready to take off the beta tag and keep moving. But, you know, Ed, again, the KISS principle, there's not a lot of – we just want to keep building things that that help consumers handle their legal matters with confidence, and at the same time have those great lawyers that are interested in getting that information out there to consumers, helping them set themselves apart and attract new clients.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned also was the fact that your system rates lawyers. How, you know, what are the standards of rating? How do you rate the lawyer, or do you not rate the lawyer and you merely let consumers rate the lawyer?
So we have three rating systems within AVO right now. And they're really the three legs of the stool. At every rating system up until AVO was very much based on just peer reviews, what one lawyer or a group of lawyers said about another lawyer. I think that's interesting, and we have that. But again, it is only one piece of what I see as a three-legged stool. The other legs are the AVO rating, which is our editorial rating. It's our attempt to evaluate the lawyer's background based on the information we have about the lawyer. And then we also have client reviews, so that firsthand account of what it's like to deal with the lawyer. Now, these opinions that are generated, whether it's through the AVO rating or the client review or the peer reviews, they all come at it from very different angles. And they're all opinions, they're all imperfect in their own way, but they're also, when they come together, they build a wonderful mosaic for the consumer that gives them a better place to start rather than, say, who has the biggest ad in the Yellow Pages.
Well, if you've got three systems of review and a lawyer gets a negative rating or a rating not as high as the lawyer would like, can that be changed? Can I presume that if a lawyer is not a member of AVO, there's going to be no rating? And if there is a profile, there can be a rating. Am I correct on that so far?
Well, it depends what you're talking about. So the AVO rating, we have lawyers that are rated, have a numerical AVO rating. I mean, every lawyer is rated whether they have interacted with AVO or not. Some have numerical ratings, and you have a numerical rating if we have found. So the first thing that we do, we go out and collect all the information from the State Bar Association. Then we take that information to train crawlers that go out and look for information on those lawyers that are spending the most time representing day-to-day consumers in areas like divorce and personal injury and bankruptcy, et cetera.
How do you know that?
Oh, it's very, I mean, from the...
How do you know how busy a lawyer is, I guess is the question.
How busy?
Well, you said those lawyers who are more active in a given area get a higher rating. So my question is, how do you know how active they are?
They don't get a higher rating. They get a rating.
Okay.
So they get a numerical rating.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we go out to the bar. We collect that information. If all we have is the bar data, then based on the information that is, you're in California, the California bar is very rich with data regarding the individual attorneys. We have a binary rating that is either attention or no concern, principally based on whether we found any misconduct in the lawyer's background. Then, if we find a secondary source of information regarding the lawyer, we build a full profile and we turn on the numerical rating on that lawyer's profile. And that lawyer can then come in and claim that profile and update additional information, which may or may not affect the AVO rating, or they can choose to ignore AVO altogether, and their profile that we've populated for them will continue to be there. Now, you have some lawyers that have only the binary rating and this the attention and no concern, and they will come in and claim their profile and turn on the numerical rating and add a bunch of additional information in hopes of improving or having the highest numerical rating possible.
Is there any way that a lawyer can object to the rating and either get it revised or eliminated?
There's no way to eliminate the rating. However, we have had lawyers contact us and say, You know, it's interesting, Ed. One of the biggest complaints that I end up handling is lawyers saying, you don't know enough about me. You don't have all of the information about me. And what I will say to them is, just fax me the information, but more importantly, tell me where we can find it online, or tell me where we can find it anywhere. And many times those lawyers will say, well, I mean, it's on my resume. It's in my file cabinet. And that's the problem, is that consumers, all we're doing is replicating the process that a sophisticated consumer of legal services would go through. And so if someone were to call me and say, hey, Mark, I'm thinking of hiring this lawyer, well, I would look at the state bar records, I would look at the information that I could find out about them on the web, and I would make at least an initial determination. I'd say, yeah, there's a superb chance, there's a good chance that this lawyer might represent you well. You should go talk to him or her. And that is the essence of the ABO rating, is we're trying to look at the background, score the resume, score the information that we found to give consumers a better place to start.
Well, I guess one follow-up question might be, what questions do you ask of a lawyer in order for a lawyer to create the profile? I'm assuming that you do not create a profile for a lawyer, that you may have the name of the lawyer that you got from the state bar or elsewhere, and you could have this binary rating which says, you know, in effect, there's no disciplinary proceedings on this lawyer, outstanding or concluded adverse to the lawyer. That's one thing, but they could get that information just going by this to the state bar site as well. So that's not really a negative for a lawyer, so to speak. In fact, it might be a positive because it's one more place on the internet where his or her name might be.
Sure.
But in terms of the profile, then, assuming you're not creating the profile, how is it that the lawyer creates the profile, and what questions are you asking of the lawyer that enables him or her to create the profile? Or is it just block data and there to be filled in by the lawyer as he chooses?
It's more of the latter. So what we do, first of all, to understand our rating system, to build the ABO rating, we spent a ton of time interviewing consumers, doing focus groups with consumers, surveying consumers, and doing the same thing with lawyers. We also, you know, have some of the best legal minds in the business, whether it be through our board or advisory board, that were involved in putting this rating together. And so with all of those different inputs, you know, we heard back from that collection of information that these are the primary factors that consumers, lawyers, experts are looking at when they are evaluating a lawyer's background. And so those are generally the fields that you see in a lawyer's profile. So whether, you know, industry recognition, years in practice, you know, educational experience, work experience, et cetera, et cetera. So all of those things are being taken into account into the ABO rating.
So in other words, you're putting those up as fields for the lawyer to put his or her data into.
That is right.
And when that happens, is there a follow-up rating, or that's just there sort of like an electronic brochure for the consumer or lawyer to review?
The information stays there for the consumer or other lawyers to review, and then it also potentially affects the ABO rating. It won't affect it immediately. It goes through a review process. We have a data team that looks at every piece of data that comes in, and it's headed up by two lawyers. Now, some of it's immediately recognized by the computer. So in a state like California, where we've been there for some time, the awards or other things that people put in, most likely we already have that award in our database, so the computer just matches it. And in that instance, your score will go up quite quickly. If we don't recognize it, it's flagged as unknown, goes to our data team, they look at it, and assign a weight to it per our guidelines.
Well, can a profile be placed on AVO without a lawyer's consent and participation?
Yes.
How is that done?
So, again, we go to the bars and we collect the name and any public record profile data that they have with respect to every lawyer in the state.
Okay, but that just gets you to your binary rating, does it not?
Correct.
Okay,
and
but beyond that,
we do.
Is there something else that can happen to a lawyer without his knowledge or consent?
The second thing we do is we collect other publicly information available, regarding the lawyer from his or her website or maybe from an association website, et cetera, that allows us to get a fuller profile regarding a further picture of the lawyer's background. And so once we have that secondary source of information, now we have a rich profile that we can add a numerical rating to. And there are many lawyers that are rated on AVO and that have extensively filled out profiles that have never interacted with the site in any way.
What kinds of things will impact the rating? You do not know what kind of representation they're giving to clients on a day-to-day level. You don't know their one lost record, so to speak. There's a lot there that you don't know that's not publicly available, and unless the lawyer participates, you can't possibly know. And even if the lawyer participates, it's very difficult for you to check that kind of information out. So what kind of information would you look at? I mean, for example, the number of times they spoke at a state bar event or the number of books they wrote or articles they've written?
It's everything that's in the lawyer's profile, and that's where we're very upfront about that. You know, a lot of the rating systems, they tell you that they take input from other lawyers, but it's kind of a black box. We're very upfront that everything we use in the rating is in the AVO profile. Now,
meaning that it's publicly available data?
Yeah.
Or meaning something else?
Meaning that it's information that we have found about the lawyer that is sitting there for the consumer or the lawyer to read.
Okay.
Now, you may not know the weights we assign to certain things, and, you know, for example, this award versus that award, they may have very different weights depending on our guidelines. But there are many factors that go into the AVO rating, especially when you consider the underlying weighting of the different pieces of industry recognition or work experience, et cetera.
Well, one criticism that I heard of AVO,
criticism of AVO?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Well, not so criticism, but critique, let me put it that way.
Okay. We have people who love us and people who don't love us.
I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. And I don't mean to put it in positive or negative connotation, but rather it was a query to the effect that AVO's rating is impacted, for example, by the number of speeches or the number of articles that a lawyer writes or gives to audiences, and that can dramatically impact the rating schedule. And the question that was asked, and I think it's a legitimate question, I'll pose it to you, what impact on one's quality, what impact on one's ability can you discern from that kind of activity? I mean, how does that kind of activity let a consumer know that this lawyer will serve them well?
It's an interesting question because it's maybe one for the entire legal profession because, oddly, lawyers put all of their speaking engagements all over their website. It's an excellent indicator, in my opinion, and I think in the algorithm's opinion, that what we're looking for, Ed, is those broad-based indicator of the attorney's the quality of their work and also their standing within the community. Because, you know, your standing, your reputation is largely driven by all of the great work that a lawyer does. And so, yes, we don't. All we're doing is trying to look at that background. And so I'll give you an example, Ed. If I were to give you a resume of a lawyer that, Ed, what area did you used to practice?
Family law.
Okay. Are you still practicing?
No, I practiced law for 25 years in the state of California.
That's what I thought you
did. And for the last 18, 19 years, I've been coaching and consulting with lawyers exclusively.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I had my facts straight. So if I were...
Now, that's a good sign for an AVO rating, that you are serious and concerned about getting your facts straight.
I'll remember that. if I were to give you a resume for a family lawyer,
mm-hmm.
How long do you think it would take you to tell me whether, let's say that the person was going to join your family law practice, and you were just asking the question, would I like to interview that person? How long would it take you to evaluate that resume and tell me whether you'd like to interview the person?
Well, clearly it wouldn't take very long.
I mean, it's a matter of seconds, mm-hmm. even opposed to minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is that you have, based on your professional and life experience, you have an algorithm in your head that is doing math as you move down that resume and you look at the different things that are important to you, subjectively, within, you know, your opinion. And that is what the AVO rating is doing, except it's not my opinion or any other one individual's opinion. Again, it's the opinion, the amalgamated opinion of thousands of consumers, hundreds of lawyers, and again, some great minds in the legal business. And
let's be clear about that, Mark, though, because you're talking about thousands of this and hundreds of that and so forth and so on. But when you're looking at one lawyer to discern whether that's a person worthy of further consideration, a consumer who's doing that does not have the sophistication that you or I might have in reviewing that resume. And
I totally agree.
And they do not have, that lawyer who's being reviewed does not have thousands of eyes looking at his background to say yay or nay. You're lucky if you have one or two. I mean, it's what may be on his website, it may be what's on the bar website or not on the website, and so forth. But you don't have, looking at any given lawyer, thousands of eyes. So to say what you just said, I think is a little bit misleading.
And see, what you said I find confusing. So excuse me, I think we're missing each other a bit. So
okay.
We're rating people in a very unbiased way. We're rating people using all of the same factors, okay? So the question is, within this AVO rating, which factors should we look at in a lawyer's resume, and how should they be weighted?
Okay.
And so in doing that, in deciding those factors and the weightings, that's where all of the different inputs come in, so that it's very efficient in understanding kind of what are those broad-based indicators of the attorney's background, quality of work, et cetera. And so you're absolutely correct, Ed, that the consumer coming in, they don't have the sophistication to read that resume and understand. And that's why you have the AVO rating. What that does is it boils down, the algorithm says, you consumer, you have a tough time evaluating different lawyers' websites or different lawyers' advertisements. And these are the factors that we're rating on. Look at their profile, and here is a rating that boils it down that makes it easy for you. And we're telling you that there is a good or very good or superb chance that this lawyer will represent you well, and you then should feel comfortable about going to contact him or her. But don't only take our word for it. There are also client reviews, and there are reviews from other lawyers.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me, I think that you're going to be very successful.
I mean,
I have no idea what your bank account is today, but I suspect that you're going to be very successful in your venture.
Very generous of you.
But the thing that this reminds me of is the AmLaw 100. And the AmLaw review changed the legal profession, to the chagrin of many of the large firm managing partners, because it put a focus on things that were not of focus before. For example, profits per partner, revenue per partner, those kinds of things which before were not at the forefront, so they claim. I'm not sure that's true, but so they claim. And their assertion is that Am Law changed the profession and not necessarily for the better. And I suspect that your logarithm might have the same impact on lawyers who don't do a lot of speaking, who don't do a lot of writing, who are in the trenches day in and day out, providing good service. You see, you don't have a service rating. There is no such animal yet that I'm aware of, anyway.
Client rating, right?
Well, but clients don't go to rate lawyers unless it's negative. They don't go there to rate lawyers positively. When you are dealing with vendors, any kind of a vendor.
I have to interrupt you. You could not be more wrong. We've taken on so many reviews, thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands of reviews. And 80% of them are positive.
Well, I don't know how you get the reviews, but it seems to me in dealing with vendors in general, whether it be an airline that you use or a car dealer that you negotiate the purchase of a vehicle for or anything, or a restaurant, anything, that you don't sit down and write them a letter how great they were normally. Where you will, if you get ticked off enough, if you get angry enough, you will sit down and write a letter of complaint. And that's my concern about your system in terms of average lawyers.
Yeah, the numbers undermine your hypothesis.
Okay.
The thing about lawyers is people have a very emotional attachment to their lawyers. There are few legal situations that are not emotional. I mean, these are big ticket, life altering events, usually. Divorce, bankruptcy, you know, a problem with a medical procedure, starting a business. They love to talk well about their lawyers. And at times, I mean, again, 80% of our reviews are positive.
How do you get your reviews?
Well,
how do you know the people to contact for a survey?
Well, they come to us, and they can come to the site and leave. They have to register, but then they can speak their piece about the lawyer. So we do ask them, you know, responsiveness, knowledge of the law, et cetera, and they fill those out. But it rolls up into an overall client rating that is a 5-star rating.
Okay, so they then have to find you, and they then have to be willing to fill out the survey.
Yes, and one way that they find us is that lawyers come in and solicit their clients for reviews.
Okay.
So we make it very easy for the lawyer to email clients, and there's a link for the client to come back in and leave a review for the lawyer.
If a lawyer gets a negative review, is there any mechanism for him to dispute it? Is there any ombudsman?
Yes, there are a couple of things that the lawyer can do. The first thing that they can do is actually rebut the comment right there on AVO. If they're concerned about that for whatever reason, whether it's attorney-client or whatever their discomfort may be, we have had lawyers contact us and say, this review does not look correct. Now, if they just tell us that they don't like the review, well, that's tough. That's a tough situation because we need to provide this open forum for the client's commentary. So that whenever I get that call, it's very tough for me because we're promoting that open conversation. However, we do require the clients to register. And so what we will do is we'll go back and we will say to the client, listen, the lawyer that you are rating believes that there are inaccuracies. Would you like to revise? And if they say yes, and we've had this happen, they'll actually revise their client review.
So in other words, you have a give and take. You have a point counterpoint for any given review. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, we try to facilitate to ensure that honest and accurate reviews are on the site. This actually doesn't happen that often. And we do run into situations, Ed, where we will go back and contact the person that left the review, and they don't respond. And in that instance, we will take the review down. So if the client does not back up the review, we will take it down.
Will the client's review, the attorney's rebuttal, and whatever further response comes in from the client all be set forth in your system?
Yes.
Okay,
if the client alters the review, we'll just put up the correct review. So if the client comes in and says, you know, I've heard from the lawyer and I agree that's probably not entirely accurate, I want to change it in this way, then we will put that up. And then the lawyer can choose whether he or she would like to continue to rebut.
All right. So in other words, you're giving the lawyer an opportunity to rebut and for that rebuttal to be equally public with the review of the client.
Oh, sure. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And we also do that for sanctions. So if a lawyer has been sanctioned, they can actually come in and comment on their sanction. I was just looking at one yesterday, a DUI lawyer in San Francisco who, you know, he said, okay, I've been sanctioned by the California State Bar, but I did it because I was trying, it was ultimately one part of getting a $400,000 settlement for my client. And, you know, he's claimed his Avvo profile, he's uploaded video, he's uploaded, I don't know if he's uploaded photos, but he's uploaded at least three or four videos and put in a nice section on his About Me tab talking about his background. And so even though he'd been sanctioned, and that led him into, you know, we take sanctions seriously and it will affect the ABA rating, he's still getting in there and saying to clients, listen, here's my commentary around this sanction, and I'm here to serve you.
Okay. One final question. Some bars apparently have concluded that there's a possibility that a lawyer's participation in AVO might be considered to be advertising and might be considered to be contrary to any given state bar's anti-advertising rules. How do you respond to these commentaries or suggestions?
Well, actually no one has come out and said that it would be a problem with advertising. The only Florida said that attorneys could not advertise their AVO rating because they, I don't have the language of the ruling right in front of me, but it was something about...
Well, it would be either Florida or Texas that says that.
Well, Texas has worked very well with us, and that's just most of the bars work very well with us. In the Florida instance, they talked about us not having as broad-based of factors. I can't remember what they said, but I really felt like I was kind of the new kid on the block getting beaten up, because when you look at the AVO rating and everything that goes into it, you know, it's very sophisticated, it's very responsible. And so we actually presented to the bar advertising committee, and we just walked them through how AVO works and how we compare to other rating systems. And actually on that call, they voted 3-1, and the one was a non-lawyer, but they voted 3-1 to overturn their previous ruling. And that's the only thing that we've run into.
Well, Mark, as I said earlier, I suspect that you're going to be very successful. I think the only thing that's going to hold you back is how much capital you have to promote AVO amongst both clients and lawyers so that they know of your being.
You're a wise man. You're right. That is our greatest regulator in being a startup and how much
that's right.
We have.
And I think you're combating or contesting some very powerful existing engines such as Martindale and a few others one could mention, but I don't know of anybody yet who's doing what you're doing. And I think one of the things you said earlier is going to be perhaps the key for lawyers, and that is, you know, if you can't beat them, you got to join them kind of philosophy. If their profile is going to be up anyway and they have no control over that, they might as well join since it's free anyhow and take control of their profile so it's set forth in the most positive light possible. I want to thank you for joining us and shedding some light on the publicity that you have gotten thus far and giving us some of the facts behind the hype. Again, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ed. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.